And the list goes on, on down the line. And the list goes on.
And we're live.
Evan Wright had sent a super chat before the main show ended saying, "They're just WWE rejects, Sean."
That's kind of a good segue to point number one here. 30 years ago, it was October 2nd, 1990, in a place called the Moose Hall in Ponoka, Alberta, Canada, that a young 19-year-old wrestler named Cowboy Chris Jericho had his pro wrestling debut against another young upstart named Lance Storm. They went to a 10-minute draw. Jericho was 1 month shy of his 20th birthday at the time. And now here we are. He is 1 month away from his 50th birthday. Chris Jericho, 30 years in the business. What are some of your favorite Chris Jericho memories? I should have asked this on the main show, but I did.
So I remember when he started in WCW, I thought he was the cheesiest, dorkiest guy. And then when he did that heel turn, God, he was just like, you could tell he was going to be good. You couldn't tell how good he was going to be. But a lot of that stuff, especially when he would repeatedly call out Goldberg, I was like, okay, he's entertaining. The debut obviously is one of them.
Yeah, in WWE, yep.
The Phantom title win over Triple H is probably one of the best. Him trying to make the best out of a bad situation when that China feud was exceptional. That was one of the things I really, really liked. Really, his New Japan run, like, he would say for years, "Oh, I'm one of the best of all time. I'm one of the best of all time." And I was like, eh, I don't know. Hard to argue with 30 years of longevity, 20 of them at the top, Jimmy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely one of the best of all time. And for me, kind of along the lines of what you said, so for me, when he partnered up with Ralphus and kind of spoofed Goldberg's security team, that to me shows how, especially if he's got somebody to play off of, that he can be really good. You know, when he did it with Howard Finkel, when he would call him different names, a Harold and stuff like that. The WWE debut for sure. Another one for me is the Festival of Friendship.
Oh, God,
I loved the Festival of Friendship. Do you remember when he was walking down the aisle dancing with the glittery hat and stuff like that? And then when he pulled the list, that was great. When he pulled the list out, that was a great segment. I loved it. And then another thing about Jericho is just his ability to reinvent himself. And the only other guy that I can think of on that level was The Undertaker. Although for the last X number of years of The Undertaker's career, he was the dead man all the time. But before that, Taker used to kind of evolve his character and his skill set in the ring, too. He added, like, MMA moves and stuff. Jericho evolved. And so sometimes, you know, he cut his hair up. Then he'd wear the suits for a while. He went to just trunks for a while. Now he changed again. Like, he's evolved his character, which I really respect. He's kept himself fresh. So he's definitely one of the greatest. I hated how somebody on social media, when they were asked, I don't know who it was that asked, might have been Bleacher Report, some of Jericho's memories, and one guy said when he played the Sturgis Super Spreader, that's another guy just looking for a fight. And if you didn't see Jericho's response, he basically said, "Fuck off, dipshit." But
couple other great moments. "I'm from Winnipeg, you idiot."
Yes.
"He's one of the best."
Yes.
Somebody say, "Go back to Toronto."
Yes, that was a live event, I think, wasn't it?
No, it was on Raw.
Okay.
But also, when he and Kevin Owens looked like they were about to come to blows, and they're like, "I know whose fault this is," and at the same time, they both said, "Roman Reigns," and hugged each other. That was so perfect, especially for that era when Reigns was being shoved down everybody's throats, and Owens and Jericho were consistently entertaining.
Right.
Masterful.
Yeah. Jericho, he's done a lot of great things. He's got to be considered one of the best. And so 30 years, a lot of longevity. I want to ask you what you think of rematch after rematch after rematch. So now Hell in a Cell is going to have Randy and Drew again and Jey Uso, Roman Reigns again. What are your thoughts on those?
I don't need to see another Jey Uso, Roman Reigns match as much as I liked it. It was a great story. It was a perfect ending. Do something else. Drew and Randy does not make sense. Had Randy beaten Drew last week, I could have bought into it. Because then Randy could say, "Drew, I know you're a winner. I know you care about winning. And I know you don't want to end this with me pinning you." And that could happen in the draft. And he could say, "Miz got Mandy sent to a different brand. What do you think I can do? I can get myself sent to another brand and I'll be just fine, but you'll be miserable with this. Give me this rematch before you can't anymore. That would have made a lot more sense than what they did. It was whatever.
And you know, I was kind of joking about this on social media. So Jamie Noble was out there for some segment.
Yeah.
And I was joking about, oh, Jamie Noble's out there. All Randy Orton has to do if he loses is just punt Jamie Noble, because Drew McIntyre is going to get mad and he's going to get a title shot.
Yes.
Because that's basically how he got another title shot.
Yep.
So I agree they need to move on from it. The Jey Uso one, I can at least live with the fact it's only the second one. But like we talked about before, Roman just demolished him the first time.
Yes.
So it doesn't seem like there's really a need to do it. Jey Uso, it used to be that you had to prove yourself. You had to go back out there and beat some other guys first. And now you just get one. I mean, look at Zelina Vega. You know, she gets beat in 5 minutes. Give her another one. So, yeah, I agree with that. Lana, do you think that this is going to become a weekly thing where they're just kind of trolling her? They're going to have her take her Samoan drop through a table every week?
Yes. They already
every
are.
Every week, you
what
think?
Are you talking
well, it's
about?
Been twice now.
I even joked and said even the table spots get rematches now.
Yeah. Do you think maybe they might just do it every week, find a way to put her through a table every week?
They should. It's funny.
It is funny. It is.
Yeah. It's very funny. I think it should happen. Yeah.
We talked on the main show about the BTE tie, or about BTE. What the heck are you doing?
Blowing my nose, Jimmy. Yeah, thanks for bringing attention to it.
Looked like you were just doing a line off camera.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing. I was doing cocaine. Monster Energy is not enough for me anymore.
So we talked on the main show about BTE. On BTE, they unveiled a BTE title.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to end up at some point defending that thing on television?
No, maybe in the background or something, but I think it'll be just BTE. And it is largely, quite frankly, it is the Fightful Championship. Do you know the rules?
No.
It can be defended in not just wrestling matches, any competition.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, we did that with a thumb wrestling.
We did.
Match
we did thumb
last
wrestling.
Year.
Yeah. 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 That isn't that some kind of like gimmick infringement?
No.
I think that we need to reach out to the Young Bucks with a cease and desist, Sean Ross app. Wouldn't that be funny if we sent them a cease and desist?
No. They've not done anything like that to us. So maybe for WWE, they've done that to
gimmick
us.
Infringement, Sean.
I guess.
Okay, one other thing about a couple more other things about AEW. The first one is they're doing a dog collar match. On Dynamite with Cody and Brody Lee.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? That's interesting. Do you think they're going to go as vicious as the NWA? Because obviously Cody is very influenced by the NWA, and that's where this is yet another idea that he's bringing to them from the NWA. Do you think they're going to go vicious like they used to? You know that Roddy Piper legitimately suffered permanent ear damage in the dog collar match with Greg Valentine.
I didn't know that. I think they'll get blood. I don't think they'll go as vicious, but I think they'll get blood.
Interesting they're going to do that. And then what are your thoughts on the single elimination 8-man tournament that they're going to do to crown a number one contender for Jon Moxley?
I think it's a really good idea. But what I would have done, I would have had those two semifinal matches on the pay-per-view and then done the finals on the main event of Dynamite.
Right.
That way you get two matches with stakes on the pay-per-view, then you get a big main event. It's almost like you're building. You can build from the pay-per-view to the TV show. You serve both masters there.
So I guess instead they're doing the finals on Full Gear, and then are they doing the title match on Dynamite?
I don't know what they're going to do there. But I mean, they might wait 2 months to do it for all I know.
Maybe.
And also, Lance Archer's still owed a title shot somewhere. It looks like they're going to go to Eddie Kingston in the meantime, though.
Okay, and what did you think of the mystery opponent being the Butcher? Because I thought that his limitations were exposed.
Yeah, it was underwhelming.
Yeah,
it was underwhelming. I thought he did okay, but he's better as a tag team wrestler. I thought that. Yeah, I think that Pepper Parks probably would have been better, but they went with the bigger dude. They went with the Blade, and yeah, I just. Wasn't for me. Wasn't for me.
Was he chosen because so much talent was unavailable?
Well, they had to pivot everything because of that. They had to pivot everything because Lance Archer wasn't available.
Yeah. Okay. Quick question for you. Did you know who Billy Mitchell was when he did the segment with Miro? Did you know who that guy was?
So Carlos is big into stuff like that, and he was like, this guy has a lot of people pissy. Carlos was pissy.
Really?
When I saw him, I knew who he was, but I didn't know him by name.
So I knew exactly who he was. I'm not a big gamer, but I've seen the documentary. There's a documentary where he was competing. There was actually a subsect of fans who still play Pac-Man and Donkey Kong, and they still send in their winning scores. And there's this guy who's like some governing body guy who determines that the score is legitimate, and then they actually keep record of it. And there's a documentary, and this is real. There's a documentary where Billy Mitchell.
I've seen it mentioned.
Yeah. And so Billy Mitchell cheated by sending in a VHS tape, even though you're supposed to do it live. You're supposed to do it live. He sent in a VHS tape, and there were parts of the VHS tape where it got grainy.
Yeah.
And people were like, he recorded multiples and put it together into one kind of thing. But his score was declared legitimate. He was a heel, Sean Rossap.
Oh, yeah. There were a lot of people that were pissed off about that.
Yeah. NWA, I think they're coming back. Billy Corgan kind of suggests they are.
I don't think they'll be back. I think if they come back, it'll be after this year, and they won't have anybody. I don't think anybody's going to get involved in that mess for a few hundred bucks. No way.
So I think it was WrestleNomics that reported that Impact Wrestling is doing somewhere in the neighborhood of 150,000 viewers a week on Access TV.
Terrible.
I was going to ask you, because Access is not tracked by Nielsen, and so you don't get their numbers on a regular basis. Is that considered good for Access TV?
Yeah, it's very good for Access TV. I mean, what else they got? Some Sammy Hagar stuff? Like, that's it.
Okay, so they're happy with that? 150,000 viewers a week?
I would say so, but I mean, ultimately, it's what Anthem is happy with, and Anthem owns everything. So it's not really what Access is happy with. It's what Anthem's happy with. And yeah, it's one of the better viewed shows on that channel, but they're not on anywhere. They're on like half the homes that they should be. So if they were off of it, they'd be doing like 300,000 maybe.
Yeah.
If they're lucky.
Yeah. That's about all I got for you, bud.
Guys, thank you all. The mock draft is up on Fightful Select right now. I posted the Q&A.
Who is your number one overall pick?
Roman Reigns.
Were you Raw or SmackDown?
I was Raw. So I got three picks to every two they got.
Right, because it's the next. Right, I get it.
Yeah. So we followed last year's rules, and Jeremy got me to rage quit pretty early, and we reset it after one round because he was being ridiculous. His strategy was to make me quit, not draft the better team. Then we did it. Then we did the right thing.
So if you pick Roman number one for Raw, who do you pick number one for SmackDown?
Well, you got to tune in and see. I'm not giving it away on the air.
All right, there you go.
Guys, check it out. Lots of stuff at FightfulSelect.com, of course. Spread the word. Until next time, we're out. Subscribe to Fightful on YouTube for the latest exclusive podcasts, interviews, and news across boxing, MMA, and pro wrestling.